Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I'm your host, Mark Francis. Have you ever noticed that the royal family seemed to have old-fashioned phones? The Daily Mail looked into it. After moving to Windsor Castle to isolate in March 2020, the Queen has been pictured conducting her weekly meetings with Prime Minister Boris Johnson using an old-fashioned rotary dial phone. Similarly, Kate has been pictured clutching a black corded landline phone in her London home, Kensington Palace. In March last year, during the first coronavirus lockdown, William was photographed speaking on the phone to Mind Charity's CEO, Paul Farmer, about the importance of mental health from a desk in the palace, which also housed a black corded phone. Royal expert Phil Dampier told Female that Her Majesty has likely used the same telephone for years and has an "if it ain't broke, don't fix it" mentality. The Queen doesn't believe in change for change's sake, and if she is comfortable with something, she keeps using it for years, he said. Dickie Arbiter, the Queen's former press spokesman, added that Her Majesty is very frugal and sees no point in changing something if it works. It fits the ambience if you're living in a medieval castle. Why put something modern in? The white phone fits, he told Female. It's a rather old-fashioned Bakelite telephone. As far as she's concerned, it works. Why change it? You'd be surprised at how many people actually have corded telephones, how many people have old-fashioned homes, because they want old-fashioned phones because it looks good. It looks better than anything modern. I think at the end of the day, it's about choice. We've seen Charles going the video route, but everyone's been Zooming and Skyping because that's the way people have been communicating during the lockdown, Dickie explained. It's not to say that he doesn't use a corded telephone. He does use a corded telephone, but we've only seen him Zooming because that's what's been required, the same way we've seen the Queen Zooming very recently. The conference call on the telephone is, I suppose, a thing of the past, really. We're now doing video calls. When you can't come face-to-face with somebody, and the Queen does like coming face-to-face because she thrives on meeting people and chatting to people, the alternative is Zoom, Google Meeting, Microsoft Teams, Skype, take your pick. At least you can have a meaningful conversation with somebody you can actually see. Dickie pointed out that landlines are a lot safer than mobiles. A landline is not so accessible because you need to put a wire tap on it, so that's not so easy. Palace Intrigue will be right back. A new book claims that Prince Charles exploited Diana's love of fashion to make her seem frivolous. Elizabeth Holmes has a new book, HRH, So Many Thoughts on Royal Style, and spoke to people. The attention Diana received was surprising at first to the royal family, and then a source of resentment. For Charles, you can tell in his public remarks, fashion is one of the things he sought to use against her. He used Diana's interest in fashion and the interest in her fashion to paint her as shallow or frivolous. What I came to really understand and appreciate was the ways in which she delighted in fashion and introduced emotion into the equation. She had these very distinct phases in her dressing, and they track with the tumultuous personal life she was experiencing. No matter what you were making for her, said designer Jasper Conrad, according to HRH, the question was always, will my husband think I am sexy in this? At her heart, I think she wanted Charles's attention. And so many of her outfits, especially in the late 80s, seemed to scream, look at me, Holmes explains. The most famous example is her revenge dress that she wore the night the documentary aired, in which Charles admitted that he had been unfaithful. Diana pulls out this off-the-shoulder, above-the-knee, fantastic little black dress and just sort of wowed. The pictures from there ended up running alongside the news of his affair. To insert herself in the narrative like that, to reclaim her voice by not saying a word, just stepping out of the car in a fantastic dress, she knew how to use fashion to get attention. Some of Diana's most style memorable moments came at the end of her marriage and the beginning of her new life, the author explains. It was sort of in the middle of her divorce and afterward. You can tell Diana began dressing for what she wanted to wear. She knew what looked good on her body. She knew what photographed well, Holmes says. There's a spread in the book about some Versace outfits. They're those bright, solid colors, very clean in spirit, and they fit like a glove. They're exciting, but still modest and very much appropriate. She just looked fantastic. Then a couple of months before her death, the princess emptied part of her closet. She auctioned off 79 of her most iconic dresses for charity. Diana was shedding her skin after the divorce, says Holmes. She wanted to be seen as a workhorse, not a clothes horse. Palace Intrigue will be right back. Holmes told the Financial Times that while researching the book, it became clear to me how individual yet intertwined these four women's approaches to fashion are. They have operated under a nearly impossible set of guardrails, the expectation that they both be stylish and sensible as stewards of UK tax money. Every aspect of the Queen's wardrobe is considered, with armholes that allow for waving and brush-backed curls to hold a tiara. The Queen has set the sartorial stage over her 68-year reign, approaching her wardrobe as a uniform that brings calm in the most turbulent of times. She has relied on a select group of British designers to craft her image with bespoke creations. From Norman Hartnell and Hardy Amies early on to Stuart Parvin and Angela Kelly, her dresser and close aide today. Under the stylish eye of Kelly, who started working in the royal household as an assistant dresser in 1994, Her Majesty's look has been turned up a few notches, with streamlined silhouettes and electric hues that allow her to be spotted in the crowd. Her handbags even have extra long handles that allow for easy handshaking. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.